So this shloka number 5 is explaining how we got to the shloka number 5. It is explaining that Guru, there is an immense amount of grace from you because of which I came to this knowledge. Because there are so many people in this world who have different thoughts. And all these thoughts are bhranta, deluded. That is the word that was used. Bhranta, brusham. Brusham, very deluded. Extremely deluded, densely deluded. So, Rusham Brantaha, and who are they? Vadinaha. These different schools of thought, these different schools of philosophy. And how these schools of philosophy is different from Advaita philosophy, that also is explained with the shloka. So that's what we were seeing last week. And we saw the first three words, deham, pranam, and indriya. How there is a school of thought that thinks body is the self. And how Vedanta says, how can body not be the self? How body is not really the nature of the self? Because body perishes. I don't feel like I have perished. Likewise with the indriyas. Indriyas are not there in deep sleep. Even in sleep, they're not. When we're dreaming, indriyas are not there. But I feel I'm there. And when prana we talk about, pranas are blind. Although they are there, but they're blind. So if in deep sleep, somebody goes and steals, we are not aware. So prana is there, but still not aware. Therefore, I am aware. I know. So how can I be that which is a blind? It doesn't make sense. So today we see the other three thoughts. Now, in the book, there's only two left. Chalam Buddhi and Shunya. But with Chalam Buddhi, we kind of also have to understand the mind is put in there as well. So there is another school of thought which is subtler than the pranas. And they say that no. Pranas cannot be the nature of the self. Even the senses cannot be the nature of the self. Because pranas can be controlled by the mind. We can guide how our pranas should be. That is how pranayama works, right? We are able to tell the pranas when to exit, when to enter. That is up to that mind. So mind is there which is superior to that. Likewise, senses also is there which is superior to that. Mind is superior to senses. So senses cannot do things on their own. The mind has to guide them. Then things happen. So basically, there is one step further than that. They say mind is the self. So for them, Vedanta says, that cannot be true because what is the purpose of mind? Mind's purpose is to obtain knowledge. So it is an instrument in obtaining knowledge. That is why we call it as antahkarana. Karana means an instrument. So that which is an instrument, instruments are always seen as helpful for somebody else, not for themselves. We never say that instrument did something for themselves. The piano doesn't play on itself for itself. The piano plays because somebody is enjoying the music. The knife doesn't chop the vegetables on its own. But it's the mind which decides. That's why the mind says, I have to chop the vegetables, not the fingers with it. Because if the chopping is only the function, then it can chop anything. So mind cannot be the self, because it is an instrument. And I don't feel like I'm an instrument. I feel like I'm me. That's point number one. Point number two. In deep sleep, there is no mind. How do you explain that? So that cannot be the nature of the self. That which is there at one point in time, but not there at another point in time. How can self be that? When I feel that I was in deep sleep. I was in deep sleep, but I was not the mind. So I was separated by my mind in deep sleep. So that cannot be the nature of this. And I just said it mistakenly, but we always say, my mind. I was separated from my mind. Likewise, we say, mind is an object. My mind is so disturbed today. Or my mind is very excited because something new is going to happen over the weekend. Or so many different things can be there. But what do we say? My mind. When we say mind, we objectify the mind. So that which is mine cannot be me. It has to be separate from me. So therefore, mind cannot be the nature of the self. Then there is this thought here that Adi Shankaracharya ji puts. He says, chalam buddhi. Chalam means moving. And buddhi means intellect. So by chalam buddhi, what Adi Shankaracharya is hinting at also is, there's a philosophy called Shanika Vijnanava. Now, don't overwhelm yourself by knowing all these names. You don't have to know this. Because we're not trying to learn all these different philosophies. What is more important to learn from all these philosophy is, I am the self. We are not concerned about what these philosophies are, what the intricacies of these philosophies are. I mean, if you are interested in it, then you can definitely delve into that subject matter. But for our Vedanta purposes, it's not necessary, not required, not expected also. So do not feel overwhelmed. So many thoughts are there about all these things. How will I remember? This is the chalam buddhi. Our intellect, wavering so much. What chalam buddhi is talking about is a philosophy called chanika vijnana, where vijnana is representing buddhi. And what this philosophy says, that there is something above than mind, which is this intellect, which is the nature of the self. And they give an example that this buddhi is like the flame. And how a flame, when it is there, it flickers. So each moment it flickers, there is a new flame. There's a new lamp, new light. So that's what they say, that the flickering lamp that is there, at each flicker, there's a new lamp, new existence. So that's what they say, is that each intellect, each thought that we have of the intellect, That is a new existence. That is a new self. So my self is not just one entity, but it is that continuation from childhood to now, which has been changing at each point. So kshanika, momentary, vijnana, buddhi. So that buddhi, which has been changing momentarily at all times. So their belief is like that. Again, our refutation is very simple. Intellect also is an instrument. We use the knowledge for some reason, for some purposes. So if we use the knowledge for some purpose, then it is an instrument, it cannot be the nature of the self. Intellect also we objectify, we say, my buddhi. My buddhi is so dull today, can't think at all. So that which is mine cannot be me. And that which changes momentarily, then the question comes is, one who at a moment did the sadhana for self-realization. This moment, we are studying Dakshinamurti and we are getting Jnana. After finishing Dakshinamurti, suppose we realize. After finishing Dakshinamurti, we realize. So the Kshanika Vijnanavada will say, the buddhi that realized is different from the buddhi that studied. If that were to happen, how sad would it be? That I realized, but I don't know that I realized. Okay? So one existence, one buddhi says that I realized, but it has no recollection of how it realized. Because it is a kshanika. It momentarily came, and it came as this. And that which came momentarily, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go away. So then my realization will go away to something else. It's not going to be continuous. So that philosophy doesn't work also. This is the refutation by our Advaita Vedanta. That what you're saying does not make sense. And finally, Shunyavada. Shunyavada, the philosophy that believes in nothing. So, by Shunyavada, though we say it is nothing, the understanding is they're talking about the karana, the causal state. So the other ones, by deha, we're talking about the sthula sharira. By prana indriya, we're talking about prana, indriya, mana, buddhi, sukshma sharira. And by shunyam, speaking about karana sharira. So this is more subtler than all the others. But they have gone to an extent where they are saying, you see, when a person reaches that state of samadhi, at that time, what is the experience? There is an experience of nothing. You cannot say that there was an experience. So there is nothing. My nature is that nothing. And I'm able to recognize that nothing. So what they say is, Shunyavada says that I am the consciousness which is mixed with nothing. So my nature is nothing. But I'm able to recognize that. So they say, they give an example, the Shunyavadins, that how to recognize this? We know that there's a firefly, right? The firefly, when it lights up, it doesn't light up the whole body. It's only the tail end of the firefly that lights up. The front part is you know, without a life. So they say it is like that, where in one entity, there exists a light, and then there exists an inert part. So Atma is like that. The nature of the self is like that, where part it is conscious, and another part is, you know, inert. So then our refutation for this is, if there is something, first, that which is pairs of opposite cannot exist in one thing. Like it is to say that in light there is darkness. Both cannot go together. Either there is light or either there is darkness. And to say that in light there is darkness doesn't make sense. So that pair of opposite that they're talking about, that Oshunyavadins you talk about, cannot have existence together. So there is a misunderstanding in your philosophy. Second is, if you say that you are inert and consciousness at the same time, that means that consciousness, that part, how is that being recognized? How are you able to recognize that? Because that inertness will make that consciousness also inert. And if it makes it inert, with what consciousness are you able to recognize the inertness? Because that when we say something is inert, cannot recognize on its own. See, we say that camera, motion camera, whatever they are, is able to see the people. Is able to recognize face. It recognizes, but it doesn't have a knowledge of it. It only captures that image. But who has the knowledge of it? One who is using the camera. So although it has the ability to move, ability to capture, yet it is still inert. You cannot call that as sentient. Make sense? Any equipment that we take for that matter, they move, they function, but their functioning is not independently on them. It is dependent on something else. So if you say that inertness is the nature, then under which light is it being recognized? And we say if it is recognized by the light of consciousness, then it kind of follows what we are also talking about. If it is recognized by the light of consciousness, then okay, we are agreeing with that. That is what we are saying, that consciousness has to be there to light up the inert. But that nothingness, that which you are experiencing, that is not inert. That is an experience of the self devoid of any objects. So because there is no object, we don't have a recognition of something as this object or that object, but there is a presence that is felt that I am there. I'm there. That presence which is felt, that is the nature. So in this way, there are these different vadas. The purpose of explaining the vadas is to show that, you know, there are so many different philosophies out there. And we should find ourselves to really consider blessed that we didn't fall into any of the wrong philosophies where we would be confused. Where we would be Bhranta and Bhrisham Bhranta, extremely deluded by these vadas, who cannot recognize the extent of the nature of the sun. Now, obviously, these philosophies also will have refutation for our Vedanta philosophy, but they don't stand a water. Their conclusion about Vedanta is not that rational, that we can easily blow them out with our counter arguments. But that's not our purpose here. We go now forward to the next part. This much is clear, right? What we're talking about is that first line, deha, prana, indriyani, chalam buddhi, shunyam cha, vadinaha, aham iti viduhu. They know all of these things as I. They say, I am body, I am prana, I am indriya, I am the buddhi, I am the shunyam. And because they say, aham viduhu, their philosophy is bhrisham bhranta, extremely deluded. How? Can you give some example? So then, Adi Shankaracharya gives an example. Stri, bala, andha, jada, upamaha. Upamaha, not the upama that we eat. The upama here is, for example, like the stri, female. Now, all these points mentioned here is not indicating a person. So we should not think that Adi Shankaracharya was a sexist. He only had negative thing to say about females. That was nothing like that. By going through Bhaj Govinda, many people have that anger towards Adi Shankaracharya. All he had was just negative things to say about women of the society. No. We should understand what he's trying to get at. So stri. Then, and if we see in our Vedanta philosophy, in our Puranas, Shastra, women have gotten Vedanta knowledge. They were eligible for Vedanta knowledge. If they weren't, why would Kapil Muni give the knowledge of the self to mother? He gave that. So they're eligible for that. And also, you think about it this way also, which I thought was very powerful. Who wrote this? Adi Shankaracharya. One who respected his mother so much, why would he write something which is disgraceful to a womanhood? Because he loved his mother so much that he gave up his sannyasa dharma to do the antim kriya for his mother. So, we should not take it from that perspective that these stri, bala, andha, jada, is targeting a group of people. It is targeting the quality found in all people. That's the quality found in all people. So what is the quality? So when we say stri or stritva, that quality is emotions. And it's not that only women have emotions. It can be found in men also. But the emotions, they take a higher stand for that person where the rational thinking just goes away. They're not willing to allow even a bit of logic to come in between. Like that, they'll just follow. We can easily see that in mothers. A child is crying just for a little bit. Mother is so overwhelmed. Why is my baby crying? What could be wrong? Has a fever. Gotta go get the doctor. Try this, try that. So the point is, rational thinking comes later. First comes is this emotional. This in Vedanta is hurtful. That is the quality. So this quality can be found in both. It doesn't have to be just in women. There are men like that. Stri. So by stri, that is what is meant. Bala. Bala, children. We find examples of children who have also realized, like Naraji, like the Sanat Kumar, like Dhruva, and so many others, Prahlada. Though they are Bala, the quality of Bala is this. But they are in their own sort of world. Something may be going on, but their imagination power is so much that they'll just create some own story of their own. You'll probably notice with these young kids who I many times notice like that, and I always wonder, is that really true or is the parent really just making this up? A child may say something about like a event, and the mother says, "Oh, you're bluffing. Something like that never really happened. You're just creating a story like that." Mother says, or father says, and that's why I always wonder: is the kid really imagining this, or something must have seen, or something he must have seen, or something he must have done, is what is coming up with a story like that. Anyways, whatever it is, but the point is, their imagination power is strong. And one who has this sort of imagination, it goes away from reality. It takes them away from what is the real that needs to be there. So they could be easily sidetracked into that imagination world. You're sitting doing meditation. All of a sudden, bliss starts coming. And the mind reaches in that state and says, I wonder if this could happen, that could happen. I wonder how it would feel like to be blissful like this with so much money around me. How it would be so blissful with all the food I can eat. Different kind of imagination can come about. So that imagination is hurtful. Again, it's not good. So that quality is like the quality found in these people. Who? The one who says, Deha, Aham, Prana, Aham, Indriya, Aham. This is the quality that they have. Stri, Bala, Jada. Jada, one who behaves like a dull witted. They have buddhi. They have understanding. But the tamas is so much that it doesn't come, even though they are able to understand what has been said. The buddhi doesn't come to help them in right instances. Have you heard of that? I'm sure you've heard of that story. There was an experiment done in a class. A teacher in science class does an experiment. She brings a glass filled with alcohol. And she takes a worm and puts it in the alcohol. And then shows to the children. This is alcohol. This is the worm in the alcohol. And the worm dies. So what is the point do we get from this? The teacher is wanting to say that, I think you know the point. We are all aware of it. But there is one child who raises the hand and says, teacher, from tomorrow onwards, I will drink alcohol every day. So all the internal worms will die. The purpose was not to drink because it can harm you. But Jada Buddhi will be like that. It will only think what it wants to think. So Jadata means that although understanding has come, although you're able to recognize what is being told, yet your cognitive ability is lacking. That is Jadata. Again, that is hurtful when it comes to knowledge of the self. And the fourth one. Stri Bala Andha. Andha, I forgot. So Jada is the fourth one. The third one was Andha. Stri Bala Andha. Andha means blind. Blind is somebody who doesn't have the necessary means to even reach them. So blind doesn't really mean that only blind people are talking about. Those who have senses, but yet doesn't have the interest in knowing the self. They're blinded. Or those who are blinded by the name and fame of the world, or blinded by the material pleasures of the world. So for them, although they don't have the very, very necessity for the knowledge to be there. That is Andha. This is the upama. So these people are like that. So they're deluded like this. Like the Stri, Bala, Andha, Jada, Upama. So the first two lines to summarize the idea of what we just talked about. The ones who say Deha, Prana, Indriya, Buddhi, Shunyam, Aham, and they know themselves to be this way, that I am this, they are like the Stri Bala Andha Jada, like Upama. They're similar to Stri Bala Andha Jada. The quality, their guna, not the people themselves, their quality. They're like them who are extremely deluded. This is one sentence. Then the next two lines is the next sentence, which says, Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoha Samharine. This is a description of Shri Guru Murtaye Dakshinamurti. Because all are in the same case. Same case meaning same Sanskrit ending. So for one who is, now this word Maya, Maya Shakti Vilasa, that word, let's go to the last part of that word, which is Samharine. Samharine, for the one who destroys. That is the meaning of the word Samharine. What does he destroy? Who is this he? Shri Guru Murti, Shri Dakshina. This is a description of Dakshinamurti Bhagavan. So for the one who is a destroyer. Destroyer of what? Maha Vyamoha. Supreme delusion. Great delusion. Extreme delusion. All the ones that are talked about previously. That delusion. How did this delusion come about? Kalpita. It is created. Kalpita. It has been imagined also. So kalpana means to create and kalpana means to imagine also. Because it is a moha. It is a delusion. So delusion is never really there, but it has been imagined. It has been come about out of wrong thinking. Who created this wrong thinking? Vilasa, by the sporting nature. Vilasa, by the play of the Maya Shakti, the great power of Maya. So by that great power of Maya, this delusion which was imagined, created, was destroyed by you, O Guru, who is also Dakshinamurti. Tasmai idam namaha. To this Guru, to this Dakshinamurti, who is the destroyer of this great delusion caused by Maya, created by Maya, imagined by Maya, forced upon me by Maya, one who removes that, one who destroys that. To him, a frustration. This is the idea of the shloka. Just to think a little more. What the shloka is saying, how is this applicable to us? One is to say that, you know, Guru, I could have been fallen into any of these paths. I could have been Dehatmavadi, thinking that body is the only nature of the self. But because of your grace, I came to the path of Vedanta. I came to this knowledge. So you are the Samharine, you are the destroyer of all those paths for me, which I didn't follow, which I didn't go, but I came to Vedanta path. And someone may ask, you know, why would you say that, you know, it is God's grace that you came. So did Bhagavan favor you that you came to this? No. It is the purva puja, that prayers, that archana that we did of Bhagavan, that may I stay by your side. May I worship you. May I come to you. This ardent prayer of the devotee made Bhagavan melt and come in the form of Guru to guide in the right direction. If you know in Bhagavatam, I think it is in the second canto, Bhagavan Buddha, his avatara is mentioned. All the different types of avataras that are there, all the different types of avataras are mentioned. But when it comes to avatara of Bhagavan Buddha, Bhagavatam says that it is the Moha avatara. So Bhagavan Buddha came to delude the world. To delude the world, meaning to delude the people who are following the wrong path. So take them away into that wrong philosophy. He realized, but those who were following the wrong things, he kind of took them away with him. So Vedanta philosophy can stay intact. So Moha Avatara, that is how it is mentioned. So the point is that Guru, because of my prayer, you graced me with this birth, with the knowledge of the self. That's why my frustration. Another way to think about it is, Adi Shankaracharya is writing this, right? So I came to this path because you provided the means to destroy these philosophies. You have done the khandana, you have done the refutation of these philosophies, which made it very clear for me to not follow the path. So therefore, prostration to you. Mahavyamoha Samharini, one who destroyed the moha that creates, that is created by these different philosophies, different schools of thoughts. You destroyed all of that by giving what is the right understanding about Vedanta. So prostration to you, O Guru. And one more can also come. If you really think about it, there is nobody Dehatmavadi. There is nobody like that who is calling themselves as Dehatmavadi or Indriyatmavadi or Manoatmavadi or Chanika Vijnanavadi. There's nobody like that. It is actually me. When I identify with my body and my bodily comfort, I become Dehatmavadi. So therefore, what I say, this is my comfort. Why should I get up from here? I came to this seat first. Does it have your name on it? No, I will not get up. This is the Dehatmavada. This is all within us. So at different point in time, we express these different things. When senses are so strong, I want to see this. Doesn't matter, my eyes are tired. It is red, but I still want to see. So senses I will not care for. I want to see. So that attraction. Or emotions, or buddhi. So the point is that these can be found within us, all these schools of thought. And you, O Dakshinamurti Bhagavan, you as the Atma, by my practice, by the grace, you allowed me to steer away from this within me. Okay, so when the thought came that I need to comfort myself, I thought about the thought that is my comfort really necessary over my intelligence? Is my comfort, can I forbear that little bit of trouble so that I can stay stronger with my desires and not given to my desires. Can I do that with my contact of the senses with the sense organs? Can I do that with my intellect? So each time that I challenge, oh Guru, this thought is destroying my moha. So Mahamoha Samharini. For one who destroyed my delusion, to that Dakshinamurti, to that Guru, is my prostration. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye, Shri Dakshinamurtaye, Idam Namaha. This salutation. All right. This concludes Shloka number 5. Any questions, comments? Okay, good. No question. That I should feel good that, you know, I'm making it very clear. That is a delusion for myself to think like that. Okay, let us just chant the next shloka, because if I start to describe the next shloka, it will not work, meaning I will not have enough time. We can chant and I can give the gist of the shloka, but I will not be able to cover any part of it. Rahu grasta divakarendu sadrusho. Maya samachadana. Sanmatra karanopa samharanato yobhut sushupta puman prakswapsamiti prabodha samaye. Yah pratyabhijnayate tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye. Rahu grasta divakarendu sadrusho maya samachadana sanmatra karanopasamharanato yobhut sushupta puman prakswapsamiti prabodha samaye yah pratyabhijnayate tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye. So the gist of the shloka here is that we talked about the Shunyavada, the ones who are saying that nothing is the nature of the self. They kind of raise a question that what is your experience of the nature of the self? And in that experience of the nature of the self, how do you know that you have experienced the nature of the self? An example that they take, Adi Shankaracharya takes, is the example of the sun and the moon. that are covered by eclipse. So when the sun and the moon are covered by the eclipse, how the whole world turns dark. But then when it is lifted, the whole world is lighted up. Like that, this person goes to deep sleep, everything goes to dark, but then wakes up, comes to recognize that I am here. So there is this recognition for this person that when I was sleeping, it was me alone, and when I woke up, it was me alone. So who went to sleep and who woke up? The only thing that went to sleep was the mind and the antakarana. But when the mind and antakarana went to sleep, I, the self, existed in its pure nature. Without the self's existence, nothing can be there. And when I woke up, this self alone made me recognize that I was there in deep sleep. So therefore, how do I recognize that in that state of samadhi or in that state of consciousness, I am there? It is my light alone that tells me that I am there. So to refute the thought of shunyavada, this next point is mentioned with the example of the solar eclipse and lunar eclipse. So more of that detail will go with our next week's class. I try to give you guys a gist of what the shloka is talking about. Any thoughts?
I have a comment.
Yes.
Gurudev has given detailed explanation of this six thoughts of philosophy in the introduction part of chapter 2 for those who want to know about more about this six thoughts of philosophy.
In which
part? In the small book, old version.
Oh, in the old version.
Right, the single book for chapter 2.
Oh, just for chapter 2, there is
right. Wait,
chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita.
Right.
Okay.
Bhagavad Gita.
Chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita.
Introduction part. In the introduction, he has given detailed information.
About the six philosophies.
Right.
Thank you so much.
It looks like this fifth verse defines guru, one who removes the ignorance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole definition of that in just one word, how he removes the ignorance, right?
Yes. So then next week, we will start with shloka number 6. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
Thank you, Dhiranjan.
Hari Om.
Hari Om, Dhiranjan.
Hari Om, Dhiranjan.